I appreciate the introduction from Robert. It's great to have friends that span for over 30 years. And I appreciate the friendship with Robert and Brenda. I remember when they first came to the church, we were meeting in the American Legion Hall, and there was such a spirit of worship. People had their hands raised, and it was just really something beautiful, and Robert was very drawn to that, he and Brenda. And Robert was a trained musician, pianist, but he had never played by ear, and he wanted to be able to play by ear, and we would gather around him and lay hands on him and pray for him, and God just really blessed him. And I know it seems effortless as you watch him play and his involvement with the worship, but Robert, I know that was a real stretch of faith, moving beyond everything you'd been trained in to really being able to just hear something and play it. So I'm happy to be here this morning. My wife is out of town. She is up in Vancouver, Canada, visiting her two daughters. And I'm missing her, but I'm glad she's having that time to be there. I had a couple of messages on my heart, and I'd like to say to you, I've decided to preach both of them, but I'll stick with one today. And I came by the office this past week, and Brenda, she's inquisitive. She said, what are you preaching on? And I said, well, I'm thinking about two messages. I'm thinking about preaching on the Church of Macedonia. Macedonia was a church that Paul referred to as a model or an example to other churches. The name Macedonia actually means tall or long, and it was a church that cast a big shadow. You know, you don't have to be big to cast a big shadow. It's just how you position yourself and how the light's shining from behind you. You can make a big shadow even if you're little. But Macedonia cast a big shadow. And so it's a message that's been stirring in my heart. And the second message was praying in the Spirit. Anybody heard that term before? Praying in the Spirit. And Brenda was so quick, she said, preach on that. And then I told Robert, and Robert said, preach on that. I'm like, okay, guys, I'll follow what you're asking. I'll preach on praying in the Spirit. What an interesting subject. I have a question for you. If you're not praying in the Spirit, how are you praying? If you're not in the Spirit, I guess you're in the flesh, which wouldn't be a good thing. So I'm thinking we should always be praying in the Spirit, not just once in a while. Matter of fact, I don't think all prayers are the same. You say, well, if you're praying, isn't that really what matters? But Jesus talked about some people thinking that they would be heard because of their much speaking. And quite obviously, they weren't being heard. So all prayers are not the same. Matter of fact, the scripture uses Elijah as an example and how he prayed for rain, and God heard him and sent the rain. And the scripture says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, it's kind of letting me know that maybe not all prayers are effectual. Maybe not all prayers are fervent, and maybe not all prayers avail much. Matter of fact, there might be some prayers that don't avail anything. You guys are so quiet this morning. But one thing I will guarantee you, when you pray in the Spirit, that is an effectual, fervent prayer. I will guarantee you it will be heard by God. It will not be a prayer that, because of much speaking, you're supposing you might be heard of God. No, it is guaranteed it will be heard by God if you're really praying in the Spirit. Anybody want to pray in the Spirit more? You're so quiet. All right. So let's talk about it. And the first scripture I want us to look at is Jude 20. It's a rather short scripture. The context is interesting because it's talking about in the last days that things are going to be very evil and very difficult. So you always have to look at these conjunctions, and the little word but is very important because it's tying together with what was said previously, and it's talking about how bad the times are going to be, how evil people are going to be. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. So here's an answer when things are evil and difficult around you. There's a way that you can build yourself up. And this building up, is this a good thing? How do you read it? Like, oh, he's just puffing himself up. No, that's not what that word means there. This is a good word, building up. Anybody like having somebody else build you up? You ever feel like you need your spouse to build you up and not tear you down? Your children, do you think they ever need to be encouraged by you and build up and not always just pointing out what they're doing wrong? No, it's actually a good word. And how we are built up is by praying in the Holy Spirit. Maybe if we were praying in the Holy Spirit more, we wouldn't have to be so dependent on other people always building us up. Some people are so hypersensitive. Somebody looks at you just wrong and you think, oh, they're thinking something bad about me. Maybe our reservoir is not being filled the way it should be. And I'm not against other people building us up, but we need to be being built up more by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be built up because there's a lot of things around us that tear us down. That can be in your workplace, that can be in your home, that can be in so many different places. You just get worn down. You get beat up. Spiritually, you become exhausted. You guys are so quiet. I keep saying that to you. I used to say that, and people say, it's because we're listening. Okay, we're listening. So being built up. You know, this past fall, I had more problems than I've had in a long time. People problems. It seemed like everybody was mad at me. And I wasn't trying to be a bad guy. I really wasn't. I wasn't really trying to do anybody wrong. But everybody, it seemed like, well, not everybody. My wife was still happy with me. And my mom, too. My mom loves me. But it seemed like everybody else was upset at me about different things. And, you know, sometimes we look around and we say, well, everybody else has got a problem. But I've heard this, that we ought to be looking for common denominators. Are there any common denominators? And I came to the conclusion there was one common denominator. It was me. I began to get so discouraged. I was ready to throw in the towel. God's given me some things to do. God has put some things in my heart. He put in my heart to see the school started. He put in my heart to see it be a sustainable program and having a farm. And I just began to get so discouraged of, I am ready to give up. I am ready to quit. This isn't working. And my wife was getting really beat up. She told me she didn't want any more people in the house. And that was it. Either we get those cabins built on the property next door or nobody else was coming because we're too old for this. You know, when you have problems with people and you can go home and get away from them, but when they're in your home living with you and you can't get away, she said, we've raised our kids. Why are we trying to raise everybody else's kids? In the meantime, I had an offer to work with another organization in California. And boy, I'm really thinking about it. Man, enough of this. Maybe I just missed the Lord. Maybe the Lord never told me to do this stuff. Come on, guys. Have you been through this kind of stuff before? Do you know what I'm talking about? I think that's the very thing Jude's talking about. All the stuff going on around about us, and we begin to get drained and discouraged and can't keep going. But he's got an answer. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Coming back from California, I turned down the offer, and I had an overnight flight. And on the plane, I am just crying out to God. I am praying as hard as I can pray. Now, I've done this before when I'm alone. I like to walk up in the forest and be as isolated as I can be, and then I get very animated when I'm praying. But I've never done it in public, especially sitting on an airplane with everybody around me trying to sleep. Now, I wasn't being loud, but my lips were moving. My hands were frailing the air. It's a wonder they didn't taser me and drag me off the plane like they did the Asian doctor. That would have been funny to see me on video being drug off the plane. Sir, what were you doing? I was praying in the Spirit right before they tasered me. It was a 6-hour flight. I thought I was going to sleep. I didn't sleep. I prayed nonstop for 6 hours coming back, and it was an intense prayer. The only thing I can say, it had to be the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because it contradicted everything around me. People sleeping, people being tired, being in a public place, not wanting to make a scene, being tired myself, having planned to sleep on the plane. Everything is different than what it seems like it should have been. All I can say was it had to have been an anointing of the Holy Spirit to pray with that kind of intensity and that kind of passion. I knew something was different when I got off the plane. I'd love to tell you everybody was happy with me from that moment forward. But something inside of me had changed. And do you know what I experienced then in weeks that followed? Things that had been stagnant, things that were not moving forward. No matter how hard we tried, everything started moving. Everything started accelerating. Pieces began to come together. Miracles began to happen. You want to learn more about praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of praying in the Spirit? The effect of evil on the human spirit, it tears us down. Praying in the Spirit sustains the process of building upon what we have already received. Years ago, when we were building this building, we got the foundation in and we ran out of money. And there was a piece of concrete with some steel I-beams standing up out here. And I would ride by on the highway and I'd say, "Oh, that is so embarrassing." We had a big sign out there that said, "New church coming," and it's concrete and some pieces of steel. It felt so good when things began to move forward again. Building up means building upon something that is already there, moving it forward. That's like your spiritual life. When you came to Christ, the foundation was put in, but there's an ongoing building process. And praying in the Spirit continues that building up. In Zechariah, there's an interesting scripture about a man by the name of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a prince or a leader amongst the tribe of Judah. And King Cyrus had given an order for the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and to build the temple. They got it started. They got the foundation in, but they were having problems. There were Samaritans, and if you've ever wondered about the conflict between the Jews and Samaritans, it goes back to this time. And because of those conflicts, the construction stopped. And people began to build their own houses and very elaborate houses. But then some years later, a prophetic word came and it got them moving again, building the house of the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. That's what praying in the Holy Spirit does. There's a mountain in front of you. You can't seem to get around it. You can't seem to get over it. Just like Zerubbabel. Praying in the Spirit unleashes this supernatural grace where the mountain becomes like a plain and we get moving again. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. What does praying in the Spirit mean? It can mean praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you don't pray in the Spirit, you don't think you need the Holy Spirit's help. I've got some good punchlines here. Actually, praying in the Holy Spirit is a prayer of humility. It's not a prayer of pride or arrogance. Praying in the Spirit is humility before the Lord. It's my acknowledging that I need the Lord's help even to pray. Praying in the Holy Spirit's power. And Zechariah again says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You've heard that scripture before. It is a prayer of humility, not by my own strength nor by my own power. What does praying in the Spirit mean? It means in the realm of the Spirit. Matter of fact, in the original language, Jude 20, it doesn't include the definite article when you read it in the literal text. It says praying in spirit. It doesn't even say praying in the Spirit. That was added. Praying in spirit. Without the definite article, it can be interpreted as meaning surrounded by His presence and power. I believe when I was on that night flight coming back from California, I was surrounded by people, sleeping people, but I was surrounded by the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit and with His power. You've been studying the book of Revelation, and John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I believe he's talking about the same thing, being in the realm or the presence of the Holy Spirit. John 4:23, Jesus said to the woman at the well, but the hour is coming and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. I believe there's a very close connection between worship and prayer. They go together. They go hand in hand. And He's seeking people who will worship and pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was to be the place of prayer in the sense of being the surrounding, penetrating, transforming atmosphere of the Spirit of the praying Christian. That prayer which is not in the Holy Spirit is in the flesh. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and we are told that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Every prayer must be in the Holy Spirit. All else is beating the air and occupying time in vain. I think it's time for us to stop making a distinction between praying in the Spirit and not praying in the Spirit. I think we need to always be praying in the Spirit. I think we need to hit a pause button when we go to pray and say, Lord, I really need you to help me right now. I can't do this on my own. I need you to guide me. I need you to put your burden in my heart. I need you to show me how you want me to pray. Romans 8:26 says, we have a weakness. Or King James actually says an infirmity, but it's referring to a weakness we have. Can you look at this scripture and identify the weakness? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and here it is. Here's the weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. What is the weakness? We don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I love the concept of the deep things of God. Psalm 78:15 says, He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly, as was from the deep. The Holy Spirit takes the deep things of God and puts them into our hearts. Praying in the Spirit will never be a shallow prayer. Praying in the Spirit will always be a deep prayer. Matter of fact, it's so deep, sometimes you don't even know what to say. Can I ask you a question? When do you groan? When do you groan? A groan is when you're feeling something real deep on the inside. A groan is an expression of something that is so, so profound that you are feeling. I remember my first experience with this, and I've shared this story many times. But I had an experience with the Holy Spirit when I was 12. You see, I'd gotten in trouble. And some of you know where I'm going. I was throwing oranges at cars. And there was a car that came by with four men in it, and we got them really good. And they came to get us. I was so scared. Oh my goodness, I'm running as fast as I can run. My cousin is running. And they're gaining on us. And it was a miracle. We got away from them. But you know, I was praying, Lord, if you'll save me, I promise I will never throw oranges at cars again. If you will save me, because these guys are going to kill me. I remember that weekend we went to a revival meeting that my dad was preaching, and I'd heard about the Holy Spirit. And I remember going to the altar and saying, Lord, I will not leave this place until you fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I was worshiping God with every word I could find. Lord, you're beautiful. Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, I love you. Lord, I give you my life. Whatever I could think of, when something happened on the inside of me, that what I began to feel was deeper than what I knew how to express. You ever had that experience? It was so much deeper that I could not even put into words what I was feeling. I didn't know how to say it. I honestly felt like I was going to blow up. I believe that was the first time I had experienced the Holy Spirit making intercession through me. All I know is somehow it expressed back to God the depths of what He was putting inside of me. He splits rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What is praying in the Holy Spirit? Praying in the Spirit is praying according to the Spirit's leading. It is praying for things that the Spirit leads us to pray for. Now think about what I'm saying. God Himself is putting in your heart the very things He wants you to pray for. That's powerful. That's fully coming into agreement with God on the things that He is wanting to do. Praying in the Holy Spirit means to pray in harmony with the will of God. It is praying according to the Spirit's leading. It is praying for the things the Spirit leads us to pray for. Only the prayer which comes from God can go to God. That desire which He writes upon our heart will move His heart and bring down a blessing, but the desires of the flesh have no power with Him. Now I'd like for you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I got a note from a good friend of mine this morning. Her name is Beverly Connors, and we've known Beverly a long time. I remember when I first met Beverly, I'd gone to a Bible study out at First United Methodist Church in Paisley. And we're sitting in this Bible study, and Beverly said, "Tell me about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues." I thought, my goodness, who is this gal? You could see people kind of like, oh. She hadn't changed a whole lot. Praise the Lord. This entire chapter talks about the Holy Spirit, talks about prayer, talks about tongues, and for some reason, tongues is a big stumbling block and divisive many, many times amongst Christian people. Two things that you will see in this portion of Scripture: there are abuses of tongues that Paul is confronting, where tongues is being used improperly and creating confusion. And then he concludes the chapter by saying, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, I've seen two extremes. I have seen the abuses. I've seen some pretty good ones. I have also seen the forbidding. Matter of fact, years ago, when my dad began speaking in tongues, it got him fired and kicked out of the church. He was the pastor, and they fired him and kicked him out. That's definitely forbidding, speaking in tongues. Some people kind of redefine the concept. They say speaking in tongues is just learning and speaking foreign languages. But I have a little definition here when I put a naturally unacquired language. It's not a language that you learn. It's actually a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You see, on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues, and there was a big question: how are these people speaking the languages of the countries all around, languages that they never learned? I speak Spanish because I studied Spanish. That's not the kind of tongues that's being spoken of in 1 Corinthians 14. That would be totally taking the scripture out of context if you try to translate it that way. That's a cop-out. This chapter is talking about supernatural manifestations and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when it speaks about tongues or languages, it's talking about a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit to be able to do something you would never do by your own power. Let's read a little bit, and I'm going to go through this. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. You know, as I prayed over this message today, I thought, Lord, what do I want to see as an outcome? And I kept coming back to one thing, and that is that we would earnestly desire the things of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer today. I'm not looking for some kind of a big hoopla here today. I'm not looking to say, come up here, I'm going to lay hands on you and you're going to fall on the floor and do things you don't want to do. That's not what I'm looking for. Let me tell you what I'm looking for. That God would make us so hungry for the things of the Holy Spirit. The only way I can describe what Bev Connor did years ago, tell me about the Holy Spirit. The only thing I can say is she was so hungry for the things of the Spirit, she really wasn't even concerned about what other people were going to think or say. My prayer today is, God, make us so hungry for the things of the Holy Spirit. I got hungry for the Holy Spirit when I got in trouble. We can find some oranges if you want to go that route. Or we can really pray, God, stir up our hearts to be hungry for the things of the Spirit. Continuing there with that verse, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God. What? If you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God. Not to man. You know, we have a term for that. It's called prayer. Since people won't be able to understand, you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but will all be mysterious. Other people won't understand. You're speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, but other people don't understand what you're saying. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. You know, we just got back to Jude 20, didn't we? Building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. But a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish that you could all speak in tongues. Now, I have a very interesting view of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe all nine of the gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 are in the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit can choose to manifest any one of those nine gifts through you or me according to the need. You need a word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit is in you, He can give it to you. You need a prophetic word, the Holy Spirit can give it to you as it's needed. Healing is needing, the Holy Spirit can give you. I love words of knowledge. Giselle, I was reminding her of a story 30 some odd years ago. Giselle calls me up She was married to a man who was an alcoholic. She said, "You come to my house." You know how she talks. "You come to my house. EJ, he needs you now. It's 2 o'clock in the morning." I get in my car and I drive over there, and there's deputy sheriffs sitting out in front of the house. They don't say anything to me. I go inside and there's Giselle. "You go in the room. EJ, he needs you." I go in the room and EJ's sitting on the side of the bed with his head in his hands, and he won't even talk to me. "EJ, what's going on?" He doesn't even talk to me. I'm praying, "Lord, I don't know what's going on here. The deputies are in the yard, but I really need some guidance right now." And out of nowhere, I looked at EJ and I said, "You spirit of murder, come out of him." And EJ reacted. And after a little while, when he calmed down, he said, "That thing was in me." I said, "What are you talking about?" EJ had gotten in a fight with his neighbor. The neighbor had called the sheriff. When the sheriff got there, EJ had gone into his bedroom, closed the door, and loaded his 12-gauge shotgun and told Giselle, "Anybody that comes through the door, I'm going to kill them." She told the deputies, "Don't go in there till the pastor gets here." I told her this morning, "You tried to get me killed." You know, right then I needed a word of knowledge. I'm pretty thankful that God gave me what I needed at that moment. Wouldn't it have been sad to read about me that I'd been shot because there was nobody there with a word of knowledge? I believe this about all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the ability to speak in tongues. I wish you could all speak in tongues. But even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. When you speak in tongues, it strengthens you. But when you prophesy, the whole church is edified and strengthened. If someone speaks in tongues in a gathering, it needs to be interpreted, because the purpose in coming together is so that everyone is edified. You know, some of the abuses I have seen of the gifts is when we've come together and there are people that are after one thing, and it's their own personal blessing, and they don't care about anybody else around them. Something wrong with that attitude, isn't it? I remember there being a lady that had a big banner, and she loved worshiping and swinging that banner. And I am telling you, you better be watching, because you'd get your head taken off. I had to duck more than once. Whoa! She had a big old steel pipe in it. Something wrong. When we're gathered here, my focus needs to be on how can I encourage and bless you? And your focus needs to be on how can you encourage and bless me? Let's drop on down. Go down to verse 10. There are many different languages in the world, and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I will be a foreigner to someone who speaks it, and the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. And the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities of the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. In other words, I'm speaking things that I don't even understand. Maybe that's why it talks about speaking mysteries, because it's even a mystery to me. I think that's where a lot of people stumble, right there. Like, how could you be saying something you don't even understand? Well, that's not such a far stretch, because half the time, I don't even understand what you're saying to me anyway, even when you're speaking English. Sorry, that was bad humor. Then it goes on to say, well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the Spirit. You know, we have some involvement in this. I'm going to tell you a second thing that I believe leads to abuses of the gifts. And it's when people believe that the Holy Spirit comes on you and so overpowers you, you have no control over what you do. I believe that's what opens the door to some tremendous abuses. I don't know what all you've been around. I've been around some stuff. And that's a common thing I see when people feel like the Holy Spirit is so come on me that it's no longer me. I'm no longer present. The Holy Spirit is totally taken over. My thinking, my body movements, my words, everything, I'm disconnected. It gets really weird. Real weird. You know, when Paul says here, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding, it's an act of the will. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing with words I understand. Isn't that beautiful? Singing in the Spirit and singing also with words I understand. Look at verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Where? Not in the church. Because he says, but in the church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So obviously he's talking about in his own personal prayer devotion. When I was on that airplane, I was praying in the Spirit. But nobody heard me. Nobody heard me. There's 3 uses of tongues, and I am going to conclude with this. Tongues as a sign to unbelievers. On the day of Pentecost, when they spoke those languages, it was a sign to unbelievers. But I want to say something here. This sign doesn't always mean that it will lead to the conversion of an unbeliever. Because it can also lead to a mocking. On the day of Pentecost, it wasn't tongues that led to the salvation of the people who were there. It got their interest, but it was the preaching of Peter. Isaiah 28:11, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. So it can also be a sign that causes people to just mock and scorn and reject. That's in Scripture. It can also be a prayer language, that we are praying in tongues. The most prevalent use of the gift of tongues is that of tongues as one's prayer language. Prayer also is a means by which we grow spiritually. Prayer in the Spirit promotes a deepening of the prayer life and the spiritual development of the personality. I read an interesting research project on people who prayed in tongues and people who didn't, where they evaluated their mental state. And they actually said people who prayed in the Spirit did better. Scientific proof. I got a few other bad stories I could tell on the other side. Goodness. Had a guy that killed somebody some years ago, right out here. And when the authorities got there, he was speaking in tongues. He just shot a man. And he's speaking in tongues. They arrested him, and then the defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney called me, had me come up to Lake County Courthouse. They wanted to meet with me, and they wanted to ask me, why was he speaking in tongues after he shot that guy? I'm sitting in the courthouse talking to the district attorney. Like, all I did was just kind of walk him through scripture. And his defense attorney said, so it wasn't speaking in tongues that led him to shoot the guy. After he shot the guy, he realized he was in trouble and he was trying to get some help from God. I'm like, yeah, that works. I'm sorry to tell you stories like that, but when you've been around a long time, you got a long, long bunch of stories. My mama's got a lot of stories. Tongues can also be a vocal gift for the church with interpretation. It almost seems like in recent years, I don't hear tongues too much in church. Paul said he would prefer that we would prophesy. Sometimes I think as we are praying in our spirit like I did on the airplane, I'm not speaking out loud in the congregation in that tongue, but I'm praying. Do you do that? Do you do that? I do. You just see my lips moving. You don't know what I'm doing. I'm praying in the spirit. But a lot of times when I'm praying in the Spirit, the Lord will give me something to say to the church, just like He will you. That's the message for today. That's the message for today. Hey, we're listening. What an amazing gift. I'm not ready to stand up here and say, if you speak in an unknown tongue, you're praying in the Spirit, and that's all it means. It means a lot more than just that. Because it really means being connected with the heart of God and tuned into the heart of God. You know, when Paul said, I would that you all spoke in tongues, you know, if I say that to you, all I'm doing is quoting what Paul said. I would that every one of you spoke in tongues. Not all at the same time. But in your own devotion to the Lord, I would that every one of you spoke in tongues. Why? It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's something God uses to strengthen us and to build us up. Can I have the worship team come on up? Thank you. Somebody says, you know, sometimes we make a mistake seeking the gift and not the giver. Well, don't do that. Don't seek the gift. Seek the giver. But as you seek the giver, take the restraints off. Just say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Some people get confused. Is speaking in tongues the Bible evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Boy, I've pondered that one. I spoke in tongues the night that I feel like I was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
But I see there's some other manifestations also. Prophesying is another manifestation that is referred to when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. After much study, I came to the conclusion, unevidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is vocal expression of the things of God. That could be speaking in tongues, that could be prophesying. That could be a level of worship like you've never known before in your life. Because Ephesians says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart. I don't think you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and just zip it up and I'm not going to let anybody know. I've been in services before where people couldn't keep quiet. Honest. And they couldn't keep quiet because something was going on the inside and they had to express it or they were going to blow up. I do believe in my studies, being filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be a manifestation. And one of the first manifestations is utterance. It could be a prayer language, it could be prophesying, it could be worshiping and praising God. It could be sharing the gospel, because we receive power to be witnesses when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Have you ever had a boldness come upon you when you're sharing the gospel that's different than just your own personal style? It's something you can't even explain. Have you ever been in conversation sharing the gospel with people and you honestly don't know what to say when all of a sudden there is a supernatural word that comes from the Lord to speak to people? That is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Church, I'm going to say it one more time. My prayer over this message today is that God will stir your heart to be so hungry for the Holy Spirit and for the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we are to earnestly desire. That's my prayer. Church, we can't do the work of God in our own strength. We can do our very best, but we're dependent on the power and the manifestation and the working of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand to your feet and we're going to worship, and I'm just going to encourage you as you're worshiping, you talk to God. You be an open vessel to the Lord. You tell Him, Lord, I'm here. Lord, my heart is open. Lord, fill me. Lord, I'm hungry for You. Lord, I want more of You. Lord, I don't want to be resistant to You. Lord, I want You to fill me. Lord, I want You to unleash Your gifts in me and through me, Lord. You talk to the Lord while we're worshiping.